Welcome to the Forever 31 podcast. I am your host, Lady B, and on today's episode, we are going to talk about how to own the room. Yes, today's topic is called Own the Room. So I am going to give you some proven tips and tricks on how to walk in the room and own it. We see that flying around social media. Thanks. That's a nice gift, or that's a nice little thumbnail, whatever the case may be. It's a nice graphic, but how do I actually do that? I'm going to give you things that I've learned from experience, things that I've learned in various business coaching, things that I've just learned through my life about how to be able to do this. So I want to help you level up, and that's what we're going to do today. I hope you find this inspirational. I hope you find it helpful. I love to hear from you. We'll talk about how you can do that at the end of this episode. Own the room. You ready? Let's do it. So again, the topic for today's episode is on the room. We're going to talk about how to walk in the room and actually own it. Now, I'm going to, you know, in today's lesson, I'm going to talk about more so the room being the boardroom. It could be a bank. It could be on an interview, some type of business venture. Whatever the room is for you, you can apply these same principles and you would just deviate accordingly, right? So we know a lot of times that fear, anxiety, self-doubt, all of those things can cause you to feel like and cause you to second guess who you are. It can cause you to second guess your strengths, your capabilities, what you know that you thrive in and what you can do well. So in order to overcome that, especially when you're preparing to own the room, one of the first things you want to do is do a reminder. Just a reminder, remind yourself of who you are. So Les, how do you do that? You want to start jotting down what some of your strengths are and what are your capabilities. Even if you already know these things, it's helpful to put pen to pad and do it again. Why? Well, when you do it, you're reminded of who you are. You may have seen growth. Maybe 1 year or a couple of years ago, you identified that you lacked confidence, but now you see that you have confidence. Or maybe previously you found that you used to stutter, but you've overcome that. It's good sometimes for us to be able to write that down. And that's something that I do myself periodically as well, is I find myself doing a personal inventory. We'll refer to it as a personal inventory. I find myself doing that so that I can make sure I'm always sharpening myself so that I'm ready. I don't want to get ready. I want to already be ready when and if that time comes. So jot down your strengths, jot down your skill sets. What are you good at? And then remind yourself of how dope you are. That's it. Remind yourself of how dope you are. God gave each of us something special. And so regardless of who's out here doing what and how they're doing it, doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me one bit. Even if it's already out here in the world, don't worry about if it's been done before, if it's never been done. Because it's never been done by you, that makes it new. I'll say that again. Because it's never been done by you, that makes it new. That means it's never been done before. Make it make sense. Because, like I said, God gave each of us something special. So if what you have is unique and special to you and only you, that means there's no way I can duplicate what you're doing. I can't do it like you. I never will be able to. I can't imitate you. I could be an imitation only, right? I could be the off-brand, generic version, but I'll never be you. Same. I'll never be you. Therefore, it's never been done before. So go ahead on and take that. Take that. Don't compare yourself to what's already out here. You have an idea. You have a presentation. You have a pitch or whatever the case may be, an interview. What sets them apart? What sets you apart? Tell them why. Remind yourself of how dope you are. And then after the reminder, leave your weaknesses behind, right? What do you mean by that? it's good to recognize what your weaknesses are. We need to know what that is, right? Because we want to hone in on that and strengthen it. We don't want to just say, oh, I'm not good at, you know, Microsoft PowerPoint. I can't create nice presentations. Okay, cool. If you know that that's an identified weakness for you and you're applying for a job that requires that, maybe you have to deliver presentations to executive leadership or even, you know, leaders, direct leaders, and you're not good at that. Do you not apply for the job because you're not good at it? No. You strengthen that weakness that you have because you've identified it. There's tons of YouTube videos out here on how to do it. There's tons of how-tos out here that you can Google. So now that you have these resources free and available to you, take advantage of them. Carve out time. Watch them 10 minutes a day. It can even, or listen to it while you're driving. It's okay. Find a time when you have it and then go from there, because you have to dedicate time to be able to strengthen yourself. It's good to know what those weaknesses are and then work to better them prior to your venture. So before you step out on whatever it is, whatever the room is for you, you want to know what your skill sets are in advance, what your weaknesses are in advance. So like I said, you can work to strengthen them. Now, do they all have to be strengthened? Do they all have to be better before you venture? No, that's crazy. It wouldn't even be a realistic goal, right? That's just so much pressure, so much stress to be added on you. Not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is attempt to make it better, right? Because you can even hone in on that in an interview and say, you know, I am also developing and strengthening my skill sets on Microsoft Office and so on and so forth. People like to hear that because they don't want to hear, you've probably heard this question before in an interview, when they ask you, what are your strengths and weaknesses? They don't want to just hear, oh, I'm weak at this, and then that's it. All right, thanks for telling us. What are you doing about it? They want to hear that you recognize what it is and then how you are working to improve. So by you saying, I recognize that I'm not good here, but this is what I'm doing to better it, it sets you above the bar, right? It sets you above the pack. All right, so next thing. If maybe you have a weakness in using filler words, that's an example, right? Maybe you get nervous and you do a lot of ums or uhs or, you know, those sorts of things. So if you know that that's a challenge for you, how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that so that you can find a way, one, not to be as nervous? How do you center all of that energy so that it doesn't cause you to use a lot of fillers? And then, in my experience, what I found is that people usually use fillers when they don't have clear thoughts or clear directions of where they're going. So you want to practice in advance. Do not let the day of your presentation or your interview or your application to the bank, don't wait until the day of to have your first run and your first go at it. Don't do that. You're going to set yourself up for failure. Don't do that. You need to practice in advance. As corny as it sounds, you need to practice. Just do it with you in the mirror. While you getting ready, after you take a shower and you lotioning up, look at yourself in the mirror and talk it through. It's perfect time, right? It's perfect time. You want to also make sure that you have an agenda lined up and stick to it. Stick to your agenda, because this keeps you on track, keeps your thoughts clear and precise, and makes sure that everyone knows where you're headed, where you're going, where you've been. It's a waste of time for everyone that you're communicating with if there's no clear line of sight. And people will leave, especially leaders and people that we're trying to get things from, those sorts of folks will get frustrated quickly. If you can't grasp their attention early on and show them that you know what you're talking about. So have an agenda lined up and stick to it. If it's a video, virtual meeting or face-to-face, you want to practice your facial expressions. You want to make sure that you're showing confidence and that you're also showing strength through your facial expressions. Does that mean that there's a sense of arrogance or a sense of, I don't want to hear what you have to say? Absolutely not. Do not do that. It will steer you in the wrong direction and they will already have a bad taste in their mouths concerning you. Don't do that. not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is to make sure that you appear that you know what you're talking about, and not just appear, but that you do know what you're talking about. People can tell when you aren't and when you don't know what you're talking about. People can tell when you aren't confident and when you don't know what you're talking about, and it makes a difference. People will not believe what you're showing or sharing with them or the value you bring. I'm going to say that again. People can tell when you aren't confident, and it makes a difference. They will not believe whatever it is that you're sharing. You could be telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. They will not believe you or believe the value in which you're saying, reference that to an interview, the value you bring, if you aren't confident. Think about the times where you've seen someone in these situations and they weren't confident and what your thoughts were concerning them. If you stumble and bumble all over the place, you've already messed up your opportunity. So you want to put in the work and be prepared in advance. Jot down notes so that they can be shorthanded, they can be long form, whatever works for you. You just want to make sure you have notes written down. I even do that when I deliver to you all. A lot of times I know where I'm going, but I still have notes, sometimes shorthand, sometimes long form, so that I can make sure I stay on track. I do not want to waste your time giving you a soup full of words. You would not tune in. I would lose you all, especially my faithful listeners. I would lose you. And so you want to make sure that, like I said before, jotting this down will help you to keep your thoughts and your delivery on track. Keep your thoughts and your delivery on track. This needs to be done regardless of the setting, whether you're in a boardroom, a bank, an office, an interview, doesn't matter. All of these things, you still want to have some notes, or you still want to have an agenda lineup, something to help you set the pace and the tone for what you are about to deliver. If you don't know, right? If you get asked something and you don't know the answer, be confident enough to say you don't know. I remember a time when, because I'm Gen X, and I remember when they were teaching us, especially in corporate America, that you never say you don't know. They was teaching us that in customer service as well. When we're on the phone and we're talking to people, we can't say we don't know, because then it showed a lack of preparation for the organization that we worked for. It also showed to them, this is what they thought. It also showed that it was a lack of competence and so on and so forth. So we were taught, don't say you don't know. But nowadays, trust me, I'd rather you say you don't know than to be confidently wrong. Yeah, that's my thing. I don't want to be confidently wrong, right? And so in order to avoid that, it's okay to say, I don't know, comma, but I can get back with you. Let me research that and find out. Let me connect with so-and-so who spearheads that. Let me do some research and get back with you. It's okay to do that. It shows that you're showing interest in their question. You're not trying to give them a whole bunch of BS. You're on their side, right? You want to engage with them. You just have to make sure you own the follow-up afterwards. Don't tell somebody you can get back with them and don't. People remember that sort of thing. So answer any questions that one may have after you're done with your delivery or your interview or, you know, your application, whatever it is, your business venture. Be prepared to answer questions. How do I do that if they haven't even asked me that? Well, anticipate what types of questions they're going to be, right? If you're delivering a presentation on pizza and why one should enjoy pepperoni sausage versus chicken and bacon, be prepared to answer questions about that. Maybe somebody will ask you the history of the sausage and the pepperoni. When did you switch? Why is that better than the other one? How is this unbiased? You know what I mean? So is the red sauce better than the white sauce? Do you prefer cheddar or it's I'm not going to go on, but y'all see where I'm going. Anticipate the sort of questions there could be. That way you're prepared. Or you could take it up a notch. If it's that type of environment, take it up a notch. Ask them to pre-submit the questions in advance. Hey, look, Susie, can you have them? let me know if they're going to have some questions in advance, please, and get them to me like a week before, 2-3 days beforehand, so I can prepare. That will help you out a ton. It shows, number one, that you're taking this seriously and that you're a boss in and of your own right by even asking that. And then secondly, it gives you the opportunity to prepare if you're uncomfortable with saying you don't know, and or and slash or if you're just not good at taking questions. Sometimes questions can come rapid fire. I've been in that situation and it can be uncomfortable for some people. And I'll even dare to say it's uncomfortable for most. Even though I've been able to successfully get through those, nobody feels like having a million questions thrown at them all at once, especially by people that don't look like you or people that are senior leaders or individuals that have an opportunity to make a decision on you or about you or concerning you. It's difficult to be in that situation. And I can even say that it was uncomfortable for me, but you get through it. So if that's a challenge for you, if you don't like that, see if it's an opportunity for you to be able to ask for questions to be submitted in advance. And then we'll move on to owning the room. So again, like I was talking about, owning the room is about being confident and knowledgeable about the topic of discussion. That's how you own the room. That's basically what it is. That's what it boils down to. How are you displaying your confidence about whatever it is that we're engaging in, whatever the room, I'm doing air quotes, whatever the room is for you, how are you exuding that confidence? That's really all it's about. If you feel like you're out of your lane, right? If you feel like you don't have experience in what it is you're talking about or what you've been asked to talk about or deliver or whatever the case may be, if it's out your lane, don't do it. If you can avoid it, don't do it unless you're prepared to do the research behind it. There are things that can stretch us, and that's good because it sharpens us. But if you're not going to be able to dedicate the time that is necessary to research that and become the SME subject matter expert, do not do it. You will automatically set yourself up for failure, and you want to be successful, especially when we're talking about owning it, right? Own what you're able to deliver about. Own that. Own what you're able to speak about. You can own that. And if, like I said, you don't want to be confidently wrong, so don't set yourself up for failure. And then finally, read the room. Read the room before, after, and during your delivery. Read the room. What does that mean? Check out the faces before the meeting starts or before the interview starts, so on and so forth. Are they coming in smiling? Do you have, you know, a couple of people that doesn't want to be there? They're mad that they're here because they could be doing something else. You can read all of that. Read the room. Check the room out. And then as you're doing your delivery, if the smiling faces are turned stoic, or if they're bored or aren't interested, or they then took out a pen and paper, they got a phone, you're losing the room. You're losing the room. Get them back. How do I do that? Drop in a little humor if you can. Don't let it be corny because then they're going to roll their eyes and that was a fail. But drop a little humor. Share a relatable story about the topic, or do an icebreaker. That's okay to do an icebreaker mid-delivery. It doesn't always have to be in the front. It helps to shake the room up and wake the room up. Whatever that is, or I'll say this too, move on. Move on from whatever it is you're talking about. If they seem uninterested, if you're able to go to the next slide, please go ahead on to the next slide, please. Because you don't want to make it worse because they're not listening. And if you can tell folks aren't listening, you're wasting your time. They're wasting theirs. And all they're going to do is just talk about you when the doors close anyway. So read the room, be prepared by doing that. We talked about, like I said, don't linger. It'll only get worse. People will only start wishing that you will hurry up. That's a bad spot to be in. I do not need you wishing that I will hurry up and finish. When I share these things with you, I just want you to know this is not expected for these principles to happen overnight. It gets better with practice. For me, when I was early in my career, I used to look for opportunities so that I could be better at presenting, so that I could be a better orator or a speaker, public speaking, those sorts of things. You want to do that. get practice. Maybe, and that helps you do it around folks that you're comfortable with and grow from there. It doesn't always have to be from a group of strangers, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. Even now, and from presenting to senior leaders in enterprise and things like that, I get nervous. I can't even front. I get nervous. And sometimes I feel myself getting so nervous, I get anxious, and then I'm worried to death. And did I do this? Did I do that? And I have to center myself and remind myself that these people are human beings. They're human beings. He's a man. She's a woman. Or she identifies as this, he identifies as that. Whatever that looks like, they're just people. It is what it is. They can do no better than me. They are no better than me. Even if they're in a higher position than myself, they are no better than me. God does not see them in a higher position than me. God doesn't see them better than me. What is man that I am mindful of them? That's a scripture that I remind myself of. What is man that I am mindful of? Why am I worried about you? I started telling myself that. And when I did that, that's what truly helped me to really understand. I know there are nuances out there. Picture people with, you know, when we were coming up, Gen X, you know, picture people in their pajamas, their underpants, those sorts of things, even naked, which I think is dumb. I'm not doing all of that. I'm just going to realize who you are, and you're no better than me. You're no different than me as far as that goes. You're a person just like I'm a person. And so therefore, I have nothing to prove to you. This is who I am. This is what it is. I know what I'm talking about. Accept it or reject it. If you reject it, then it wasn't meant. And we're moving on because I own the room. That's where I want you to get as well. Own the room. I just shared principles with you on how to do that. I hope you found this helpful. Here at Forever 31 Podcast, we want to help you with all aspects of your life, whether that's love, relationships, marriage. We talk about some spiritual things. We talk about hurt and pain and even professionalism. So follow me on Instagram, find me on Facebook. We'll give you those details at the end, but you can even send me a message to let me know how this helped you. Thank you for listening. Remember to live life with passion and compassion.
You've been listening to the Forever 31 Podcast with Lady B. Hit her up at ladyb@forever-31.com. Find us on our website, TheBernadetteCosby.com. That's spelled TheBernadetteCosby.com. Find us on Facebook. Also follow us on Instagram at TheBernadetteCosby, all one word. Don't forget to rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, live life with passion and compassion.